words. There's more than one word that actually tells us the nature of prayer. The term that's most used for prayer is actually the word to ask. This is found in Romans 8, 1 Corinthians 14, Philippians 1. We won't read all of these. I want to simply illustrate that there are different terms. And here again, the idea is entreaty. It's a different word, but it's the idea of supplication. We're asking. We're making supplication. We're making an entreaty in these scriptures. One more. And again, still the idea is to ask. And this is found in a large number of scriptures, simply the word to ask. So prayer, basically, is to ask. To pray, basically, is to petition or to make supplication to the Lord. For example, in Matthew 6, the so-called Lord's Prayer. Just stop and think for just a moment. The nature of the... And this is, of course, a prayer that Christ is... In delivering this, it's not something to recite. He didn't give this to be memorized and recited, but he gave this as teaching as to how to pray. And we pray for the kingdom. We pray that God's will may be done. We pray, ask for our daily bread. We ask for pardon. We ask for guidance. We ask for deliverance. Another scripture, 3 John chapter 3 John, the one chapter, but verse 2, includes a matter of praying for our health. Matthew 24 indicates that prayer should be made for safety in travel. Philippians 4, to pray God for a tranquil mind. Hebrews 4:16, to pray for mercy. James 1 and 5, to pray for wisdom. Ephesians 6, to pray for boldness. Now, all of these make it very, very clear, and I'm simply emphasizing one point. Here are three different Greek terms, and yet, from beginning to end in all of these scriptures, the basic point, the very heart and core of the idea of to pray is to ask, is to petition, is to make supplication to God. So, let's keep this in mind. Every time we think about pray or how to pray, basically we are asking for something. Now this isn't altogether what will be considered, you know, just for me. It isn't a matter of being selfish. But it is to ask for something. Nehemiah 1:11, O Lord, I pray, please, let your ear be attentive. And he was asking God's help in restoring Jerusalem, especially to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Matthew 24 and verse 20, pray that your flight not be in the winter. He's predicting here the destruction of Jerusalem, which would happen in AD 70, and he's telling his disciples to pray ahead of time. Be praying that your flight will not be in the winter time. Matthew 26 and verse 41, pray that you not enter into temptation. So in all of these scriptures, we're emphasizing the fact that we're asking God for something. He wants that. God wants us to petition, to supplicate, to ask for something, for many things, according to all these scriptures. Ask for all these things. Ask God for these things. Ask for His help, for His guidance, His wisdom. Ask God for all of these things. We need Him. We need God. We're dependent. We need to realize that we are dependent. And this is involved in worshiping God. It shows complete submission to Him. And of course, a recognition of His power, His wisdom, and honoring His will. Romans 10 and 1, my prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Now, the Bible clearly teaches that saints have influence with God. God listens to us. But God considers us. He takes us into account. 1 Peter 3:11, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are open to their prayers. Blessed assurance. Blessed assurance. That the Lord, His ears are open to our prayers. James 5, a very often quoted scripture, and one that we want to emphasize in this lesson, the effective, fervent prayer. Effective, fervent, not a routine prayer, not just a memorized prayer, not just something that just off the top of your head, but a sincere, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. It works. It accomplishes something. Elijah, he was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it didn't rain. It didn't rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Oh, well, that was a miracle. Go back and read it. Go back and read the story. We want to emphasize in this lesson this morning, we want to emphasize something that's very, very important, and that is that God is not limited to miracles in His working, in His providence. Can God give you favor with someone? Like in courtship, can God help you? In your employment, seeking or one that you're already in, can God help you? Can He give you favor with responsible people? The Bible clearly teaches that He can and that He does. You know the story. Everybody knows the story of Joseph. And Potiphar was a man of eminence. He was a man of tremendous authority. And this Joseph, who's he? He comes in here as just a boy that was sold like a slave. But look, read the story. What God did. What about Esther? Here's a Jewish maiden. There's a tremendous threat of the people, the whole nation of Israel being wiped out, being annihilated because of the carnal envy of a man in the king's court. But Esther had tremendous influence with the king and saved her nation. Now, these are not just simply beautiful stories. They are. They're very, very interesting. They're fascinating. But the main thing is, let's get the lesson, brethren. We need the lesson. And don't say, well, that was a long time ago, that was far away, that was exceptional. God doesn't change. The God they served is the God we serve. God doesn't change. He's eternal. We need to believe with all of our heart that God can give us favor with someone where we need influence. This is an important point in the study about prayer. Acts 27, verse 3. You remember that? This is very interesting. This is a case of Paul's on his way to Rome. It says in Acts 27 and verse 3, the next day we landed at Sidon, and Julius, this is the centurion, the Roman centurion, he treated Paul kindly and gave him liberty to go to his friends and receive care. Brethren, God did that. God gave Paul favor with this Roman leader. This is very, very important. You remember 1 Peter 3, what the Apostle Peter says to the wife whose husband is not a Christian? 1 Peter chapter 3, wives, be in submission to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. What's the point? The point of it is you do God's will. You do what God tells you to, and He will give you favor with these people that you need to influence. In this case, she desperately needs to influence her unbelieving husband. God tells her how. This is the way you do it. A lot of women ignore that. They'd rather do it their way and just suffer the consequence. Well, that's their choice. But God hears the prayers of a woman like this, and He helps her. He says, you're in submission to my will. You're doing what I tell you to, and I'm going to help you. We as Christians, I want to really emphasize a point. Simple point. But we ought to completely get these terms out of our vocabulary. They don't belong in the vocabulary of a Christian. The world is always talking about good luck, good fortune, happy coincidence. That's not language of a Christian. Our life is in God's hands. James 1:17, every good gift, every perfect gift, any good thing in your life, any good thing that you receive, any good thing that's ever happened to you, where did it come from? Oh, that's good luck. No. That's the providence of God. You know, sometimes we talk about, let's study about the providence of God. Let's just really study about this. How does it work and all that? Well, here it is. This is the providence of God. Every good and perfect gift is from God. Do we believe that? Brethren, do we believe that? Do we thank God for that? We are to pray for all men. Paul tells Timothy, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving of thanks be made for all men. And in this context, of course, he's talking about rulers. And we certainly need to be doing that. We need to believe that God hears us. The governments of our country and others. And pray for our acquaintances, relatives, neighbors, friends. Pray for all men. Pray for our enemies. Matthew 5:44. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Romans 10:1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel. Think of how Israel persecuted Paul all through Acts, from Saul's conversion right on to the very end of the book. But my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. We, of course, always, when we talk about prayer and learning how to pray and all these guidelines, of course, the example of Jesus Christ is extremely important. Matthew 14:23, He went up on a mountain by Himself to pray. That's private prayer. Luke 6:12, prayed all night. Imagine that. Christ, our example, praying. We need to ask ourselves, how much do we pray? How long, how much time could you actually calculate that you pray to God daily? Luke 3:21, Jesus also was baptized, and while He prayed. You know, we emphasize that after Christ was baptized, the heavens opened, the Holy Spirit came down, all of this, and the Father acknowledged Him, but it says, while He prayed, all this took place. Remember that? Had you noticed that? Matthew doesn't say that, but Luke says that this happened when Christ was baptized, He started praying, and the heavens opened. The Spirit descended as a dove. The Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. While He prayed, wonderful things happened. Luke 9:28, as He prayed. Again, as He prayed, the appearance of His face was altered. His robe became white and glistening. This is the transfiguration of Christ. But the point I'm making here is that this happened as He prayed. What wonderful things can happen as we pray to God. Luke 22:32, he prayed for Peter. Said that your faith should not... He knew that Peter would deny him. He told him exactly what would happen. But I've prayed for you. Satan has asked for you. He wants to sift you as wheat. But I've prayed for you that your faith should not fail. John 17, who was it? I believe Brad just recently brought a lesson on John 17. This is the true Lord's Prayer. We refer to the Our Father in Matthew 6 as the Lord's Prayer. No, in that he's teaching us how to pray. But here in John 17, this is the true Lord's Prayer as he prays for his apostles, prays for unity, prays for all those, including us, that would obey through the teaching of the apostles. Luke 23 and verse 34, we just read. Kurt just read this in Luke 23. Father, forgive them. On the cross. This is, to me, one of the most amazing thoughts in the Bible. That after all Christ had endured, discouraging, all that he endured, being nailed to the cross, that he was still coherent, that he was in control of his mind, and those seven sayings from the cross. Amazing. Absolutely. And one of them is, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. How to pray, of course, we need to emphasize, always emphasize, we pray to the Father. Pray to the Father. We pray in the name of Christ. He is our only mediator. Many scriptures say that. And of course, we need a mediator. We need a mediator. To pray to God, and Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one come to the Father except through me. So if we don't pray in Christ's name, the prayer doesn't even go above the ceiling. Today, the common practice throughout the country and everywhere else, if anybody prays to God at all, the common thing is just to say amen. Pray to God and say amen. And they leave Christ out. And of course, God doesn't. He's not about to hear a prayer that's not in Christ's name. In praying, we praise God. Lord willing, Wednesday night, we'll be studying Revelation chapter 4. This is a throne scene. Extremely beautiful, important scene in which we find God on His throne in heaven. And all the description in that chapter. Praise God. Brethren, here in our prayers, let's don't hesitate to do this. Let's don't hesitate to spend time praising God. There are a number of expressions that we can use. And we need to use them in all of our prayers. Hallowed be thy name can kind of be a category for bringing out any number of expressions like we find in the book of Psalms and in the book of Revelation to really praise God. That's what this worship is all about. It's to recognize and acknowledge and worship the Almighty God in heaven. Thy will be done. Say it and mean it. We need to say it, but we need to mean it. And then submit to His will. Make petitions, and then, of course, fully cooperate with our prayer. We ask for God, we ask God to give us our daily bread, but then we don't turn over and go back to bed. We get up and go to work. We ask Him not to lead us into temptation, and we don't just turn around and plunge into all kind of temptations. We pray for the lost, and what do we do about it? Nothing. We say, Lord, bless those that are lost. Prayers like that are ineffective. They're worth nothing. When we pray, this means that this is what we're all about. That's what the church is all about. And that we are dedicated, we are devoted, and we diligently are trying to save the lost. Same thing with the sick and needy or weak brethren. Not just pray for them, but dig down into our pockets and into the contribution of the church and help needy brethren like the Bible teaches us. Pray for preachers, but work with them, help them, do everything we can to spread the gospel. Watch and pray means work and pray. With much, much, underline the word much, with much thanksgiving. When Jesus fed the multitude, he gave thanks. Matthew 26, he gave thanks for the bread, the fruit of the vine. The word blessed, in one part of Matthew 26, that Christ blessed the bread. That simply means he gave thanks. Every time we observe the Lord's Supper, brethren, every time, without fail, let's not fail to give thanks for the bread, give thanks for the cup, because this memorial is a tremendous blessing from God. And in partaking of the bread, in giving thanks and partaking of the bread, we have fellowship with the body of Christ. When we give thanks for the cup, partake of the cup, we have fellowship, we have a share, we participate in the benefits of the blood of Christ. So give thanks. And it's give thanks exactly like you're going to give thanks for your food, the ordinary meal, the food that we eat at home or wherever. Give thanks for the food. Same thing here. Give thanks. We're not saying bless, bestow a blessing upon them. No, that's not the idea. Not a matter of Lord, bestow a blessing on. No, that's not it. It's give thanks for it. Because we're grateful. Thank God we have this wonderful memorial which enables us to have fellowship with the body and blood of Jesus. John 11:41, Father, I thank you that you heard me. How about that? Pray, and you know God hears you, like all these scriptures promised, and I thank you, Lord. I thank you that you heard me. Beautiful thought. Paul's letters. Just open those letters. Open it, and hear a great long sentence. Here's Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, a great long sentence. About what? All the things that Paul was thanking God for. Here's what I said, brother, I bow the knee. I thank God. This. Tremendous. Instruction concerning thanksgiving. Romans 1 and 8, I thank God. I thank God that your faith is spoken of throughout the world. Ephesians 6:19, praying always with all prayer and supplication. In the Spirit, giving thanks. Well, requirements for prayer. I know, it's very, very common. People in general, across the board, pray. They do something they call prayer. But how can we say our Father if we're not His children? Only children of God can actually appropriately say, Our Father who is in heaven. First Timothy 2:8, Paul has in mind public prayer, men pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In other words, before we get to worship, before we get to adoration, we've got to have sanctification. A congregation that doesn't have sanctification, genuine holiness, doesn't have any business offering up prayers to God. We need to get our lives right in every way and then pray with lifting up holy hands. 1 Peter 2:12, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are open to their prayers. The ears of the Lord are open to the prayers of the righteous. Those that are striving to serve Him and do His will. James 5:16, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. Whatever we ask, John says, 1 John 3:22, whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and we do those things that are pleasing in His sight. We can pray with confidence that God hears us. If we keep His commandments and do what's pleasing in His sight. James 1:6, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Romans 10:1, my heart's desire. Paul is offering this prayer with all sincerity, my heart's desire. Luke 11, you remember these parables? These parables are very, very significant when they teach us how to pray. What's involved in prayer? You remember the friend at midnight? He comes and said, I've got company, I don't have anything to give him. And at midnight, he's knocking on this guy's door and saying, give me bread, I need it for my company. And the guy says, go away, all my kids are in bed and they're asleep, I don't want to be bothered. And he just keeps on knocking. He won't go away until the man gets up and gives him some bread. Well, what's that? Well, what's that teaching? That's us. That's us knocking on God's door. You say, well, God's not dead. He's not asleep. You don't have to bother him like that. Well, you better be careful. That's what he wants. The woman and the unjust judge, this woman comes and says, give me justice. She comes to this judge and says, I want justice. I've got serious problems and it's driving me crazy. I want justice. And the judge said, he didn't want to mess with her. And she wouldn't leave him alone. And finally the guy says, okay, she's driving me up the wall. Now I'll go ahead and give her what I want, what she wants. What's Jesus saying? What is Jesus saying in this case of the friend at midnight? And that's us. That's us knocking on God's door, asking him for something. And the woman that was demanding justice of this unrighteous judge, what is Jesus telling us? He's telling us to get serious. If you're going to talk to God, you better mean it. Don't call upon God and then just be muttering a bunch of stuff that you don't really care about and you're not really interested. And you're praying for people, but you don't really love them. And you pray for the lost and you couldn't care less if they go to hell. And God knows that. God knows if we mean it and if we're persistent. There are people who have terrible, terrible problems and tragedies in their life. And they pray to God, and I mean they pour their heart out. And that's what God wants. Brethren, that's what God wants. Jesus Christ is saying that is what God wants of us. He wants us to be like that friend that at midnight they wouldn't go away. And like that woman, she wouldn't give up. Just to utter a few words and call it prayer, I prayed and all that. If we don't mean it, we might as well just keep our words to ourselves. Well, it's an insult to God. Prayer, I started out, and I want to keep emphasizing, prayer basically is petition. And it's something that we really want, something we really need. And we're making supplication from the bottom of our heart. We know we need God. We're dependent. We can't do it without Him. This guy at midnight, he said, you're my only chance. This woman said, this judge, you're my only hope. That's like remember the woman, the woman from Canaan that was asking Jesus to heal her daughter? Remember that? And Jesus said, well, now, I'm just sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I'm not sent to these Gentiles. And she just kept on saying, Lord, Lord, but I need your help. And he said, well, it's not good to give the bread of the children to the little puppies. She said, Lord, that's right. That's right. But the puppies can eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Christ said, old woman, great is your faith. Lord, just give us crumbs. But grant our petitions. We don't have anywhere else to go. That's prayer. That's prayer. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Now be careful. But we say, well, but He didn't answer this, He didn't do that, He didn't answer this. Well, wait a minute. He hears us. Remember that? He hears us. Now God may say no. What about that? Does God have a right to say no? Of course He does. Who knows best, God or me? 2 Corinthians 12:7, concerning this thing, this thorn in the flesh, I pleaded, Paul said. I pleaded with God, like the friend at midnight. The guy at midnight. 3 times, that it might depart from me. And He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. What do you make of that? Brethren, when you read this, what do you make of it? Well, he gave Paul something better than what he asked for. Paul thought, there's nothing in the world that would be better than to have this thorn in my flesh removed. There's nothing could be better than that. God, yeah, there's something better than that. Yeah. Leaving it is better for you. Because as you feel so weak, as you feel so dependent, and you feel so helpless in that, you put your absolute confidence in me, and you depend on me, and you don't feel self-sufficient. And that, my friend, is a blessing. Anytime a person feels utter dependence on God and not on himself, it's a blessing. It's a blessing. And God knows it. And he wants it for us. I'm blessing you. I'm helping you. I'm blessing you. Because you need to feel complete dependence on me and not be self-sufficient. Because self-sufficiency will lead you to hell. So, God gave him something. He gave him better than what he asked for. We may even be praying selfishly. James 4 and 3. You ask and you don't receive. Because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. How about that? God's not going to give us stuff, things like that. I mentioned a while ago that God is not limited to miracles. Is there anything in Matthew 6, the so-called Lord's Prayer, is there anything in that asking for miracles? No, not at all. Well, what about James 1 and 5? Asking for wisdom, is that a miracle? No. Pray for a ruler. Are we asking for a miracle? No. Miracles are not done to accommodate man. There were sick brethren. Remember, always remember this. In the time of miracles, healing and all of that, in the first century there were sick brethren that were not healed. Signs were to confirm the word. Hebrews 2 and verse 3. God works through his word. He works through his teachings. He works through his ways. And if we do God's will and we accept his word and we observe his teachings and walk in his ways, he is blessing us. He is blessing us richly as we do that. We talk about natural law. We talk about Mother Nature. Who in the world is Mother Nature? What is natural law? Well, whatever you want to, however you want to describe them, the natural law and the forces of nature are the forces of God. And God can work through these so-called natural laws to carry out his will and do his blessing without performing miracles. This is, as we sing the song, this is my Father's world. And it is not on automatic pilot. So, Romans 8:32, he who did not spare his own son but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Again, James 5:16, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So first of all, think of what you really want from God. You really want it. Then make sure you express it in that manner. For he knows, and he knows our heart, that we really do want it. When they prayed, we've mentioned, when they prayed, Jesus prayed and the heavens opened. Peter, when he prayed, the sheet was let down from heaven. An extremely important vision. Cornelius, when he prayed, God heard him. Told him to send for a preacher. And the church prayed in the book of Acts. The place was shaken. Paul and Silas prayed. There's an earthquake. Yes, God hears. God hears prayers. And we need to believe with all of our heart that God does hear our prayer. We need to observe the requirements that the Bible lays down. And above all, examine our own heart to be sure that we are absolutely sincere. This morning we're going to sing the invitation song that Mike has selected, and this is the day of salvation. I sincerely hope that anyone that has not obeyed the gospel will take advantage of the invitation while we stand and sing.
Please pray with me. Dear Lord, our God in heaven, we thank you so much, sir, for this day that you've given us to freely come together and worship you. Please be with us now as we depart this building. Please help us to guard our steps and keep away from temptation. Please be with those of us who are sick and who need our help. And please be with those who need our help in the world as well. It's through your Son's name we pray. Amen.